Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest is Jerry Moses. He is a neighbor of ours here in Ware's Valley, Tennessee. And he is a friend, and he is a brother in Christ. And I'm so thankful that he's agreed to come and share with us some of his testimony of how Jesus Christ has changed his life. Jerry, if you would start by just sharing a little bit of your background before you knew Christ.
Well, I grew up in Cynthiana, Kentucky, very small. The sign on the highway said 5,000. I think it was an over-exaggeration. But very small town, just a small industrial town. And grew up in my father was an alcoholic, and my earliest memories of family life was just, I would get off the bus, and as I approached the house, I wondered, what's it going to be today?
Mm-hmm.
My father was he could have been a wonderful dad. He mm-hmm. had all the makings of greatness, but alcohol mixed with anything mm-hmm. is a bad recipe. And I just remember thinking, what will today have? Will he be a mean drunk or a nice drunk? Mm-hmm. And it kind of ran the gamut of mm-hmm. what will today bring. And you're talking 5, 6, 7 years old, as time went on, he began to, he drank more and more. And of course, you well know, the father sets the tone.
Yes.
For the family.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot about mothers, and my mother sure was a saint,
mm-hmm.
but the father does so much,
mm-hmm.
Whether he knows it or not.
Mm-hmm.
He sets the tone for the home and for mm-hmm. the family. And, the tone was never, I never really had direction
mm-hmm.
From him. But as time went on, his drinking got worse, and he began to become violent with us and with my mom. And he had an incident when I was around 10
mm-hmm.
Where he beat my mother up very bad. And, he was arrested and taken off, and I didn't see my father for probably at least a year
mm-hmm.
after he was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to rearrange our lives. We moved to public housing,
mm-hmm.
and so new neighborhood and on the other side of town. And I just began a life without any guidance, any direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a recipe for disaster, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And I began almost immediately to experiment with alcohol and marijuana from about 10. I know by 11
mm-hmm.
I was using
mm-hmm.
Marijuana and you know, beer and things like mm-hmm. that. Whatever I could sneak away
mm-hmm.
from some of the neighborhood kids, mom and dad, they mm-hmm. they partook in the same thing. So
mm-hmm.
we'd get our hands on those, and it just progressively got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And by I was selling drugs by 15.
Selling drugs by age 15?
Yes. Cocaine.
Mm.
Now, marijuana, I graduated, and to the people who say that marijuana is not a gateway drug,
mm-hmm.
you're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And I can speak more about the marijuana, because it was actually very difficult for me to stop marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was easily to explain away. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can say, hey, I got off meth.
Mm-hmm.
I got off cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
But pot is always, you know, the media has always downplayed
mm-hmm.
the effects of marijuana,
mm-hmm.
beer.
Mm-hmm.
But 16, 17, all of those teen years, I was a drug dealer and user, mm-hmm. heavy user.
Mm-hmm.
And at 22, I was indicted for drug trafficking in a Schedule II narcotic, cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I actually got to listen to the audio where the person I sold to had on a wire,
mm-hmm.
and I threatened him with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I did plead guilty to mm-hmm. drug trafficking, which mm-hmm. carried a 5 to 10 year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutor agreed to just give me 5,
mm-hmm.
how generous he was, if I would plead guilty to it, which I did. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
On July 6th of 1990, I started a 5 year sentence
mm-hmm.
in state prison mm-hmm. for drug trafficking. I had never no priors, so I got out. You serve 20% of that sentence,
mm-hmm.
And if it's a nonviolent offense, you can be paroled, which
mm-hmm.
I was,
mm-hmm.
and I went right back to drugs.
I want you to say that again. This is after you've served time.
Oh yes, after I served my sentence, I still had 3.5 years on parole that I had to, and it's pretty stringent in the first 6 months.
Yeah, and if you stay clean, you don't have to go back.
That's right.
But you didn't stay clean.
I did not stay clean.
Why?
Well, I had a heart problem.
Exactly, exactly. In terms of what makes sense, it would make sense to say, wow, I've learned my lesson, I'm never doing that again. But that's not what happens, is it?
Yeah, no.
And this is not unique to you.
Absolutely.
I've heard this story more times than I can count because it's the same pattern. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he can't do it without our cooperation.
That's right. Oh, and I was more than willing to cooperate.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, the identity,
mm-hmm.
the lack of identity,
mm-hmm.
the anger,
yes.
was all still there. And, of course, prison doesn't do much to tame you.
Yeah.
In fact, you see and sometimes even participate in things that you almost step back and say, I can't believe this is a society. I can't believe these are human beings
right.
who are carrying on this
mm-hmm.
way. But after 6 months of being there, it's norm.
Yep.
It's the norm. You don't question it because it's amazing what you can get used to.
Yeah. So soon you were back into the drug scene.
Back in, but my habit was far worse the second time,
mm-hmm.
just through the roof. And I mean, LSD and cocaine and you name it. The things that, some of the things that are out there on the streets today are,
mm-hmm.
you know, they are a little new, but all the pills, methamphetamine,
mm-hmm.
we called it crank.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things that they do now, I've done all of that stuff
mm-hmm.
numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
I've smoked it and I've shot it. I've done it every way you can ingest it. I've said many times that had Jesus came in a pill
mm-hmm.
or a bottle, I would have been saved many, many years ago because I would have certainly tried it.
Yeah. So you were willing to try whatever you could get your hands on.
Absolutely. But it never took away what I was trying to get rid of. And that
Please say that again, because that's,
yes.
again, people need to understand. When a person is self-medicating, it's because they've got pain. There's a longing inside us that is never fulfilled until we come to know Jesus. And so until we come to know Jesus, that longing drives people to all kinds of destructive things because they're trying to fill that void. They're trying to make that pain go away. And you had tremendous pain.
Yes.
And you were trying to medicate it.
Yes.
But none of these medicines really make it go away.
No. There's, you know, I think that every jot and every tittle is there.
Amen.
By design. And Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, man, I'm a great way. I'm probably the best way.
Yeah.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that he said it in a way that even I could understand.
Yes.
Because we see it today. There is a void.
Mm-hmm.
There's a void that sin causes in every person. Now,
yes.
It's easy for me to diagnose it now
mm-hmm.
because I've got the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
that He can pinpoint it for
you. Yes.
And that's why you see so many that are so heavily politically active. You can use drugs. You can try it with drugs. You can try it with alcohol. You can try it with promiscuities, which I, and all of those, all of the above, I tried. They all failed. And the heavily politically active, that's exactly what they're doing. It's a substitute religion for Christ.
Well, for many people, sports is that. Sports idolatry is a huge problem, and it affects many in the church. Pornography is another one that many people try and substitute, and that affects many in the church.
And you don't know. And speaking to that, I was exposed to, I had an older neighbor friend. I was exposed to pornography at, I'm talking six. He was several years older than me, and his father. His father had Playboy magazine. And I mean, I was hooked from the beginning.
But nothing satisfies.
No.
It can excite. It can give pleasure temporarily, but nothing satisfies.
No. It's just like a beautiful. We could say let's cook out. We get two of the most beautiful sumptuous steaks. But let those beautiful steaks stay out unattended for the afternoon. Sin's always progressive.
Yes.
It always brings rot.
Yes.
And let's come back tomorrow after those steaks have set out and you well understand. And in a week, the last thing you're going to want to think is, let's eat when you take a look at those steaks. Now, what happened to them? The progression
of decay.
And that's what same thing happened with me. I didn't start out smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. I started out sneaking one. And that's the devil. It's the only thing he needs. If you're just willing to just step up to the edge of sin. You don't have to, you don't have to do a gainer off of, head first. Just step up to the edge and he'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
He always does.
So how did you hear about Jesus?
Well, I was raised in a Methodist church. It was one of those situations to where my mother took us to church, but it was, with all due respect to the Methodist faith, this particular church was as dead and dry as possible. They had the same sentiment that I did, it seemed, from the pastor down. And children are very insightful.
Yeah.
I mean, they're super smart, especially today. And they have a street savvy. And I just realized this is, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
And, of course, another thing that was going on was a spiritual battle in our house. My father was just, when we would come in from church, it was World War III. And again, spiritual battles are real battles.
Yes.
They are real battles. And so we, with dealing with that, but my mother, she did stay faithful. We sang the songs, and one of the things that I see that go on today is Jesus loves me, this I know. We sang those cute little songs. We love those songs. But we go into a secular school at six or kindergarten, and you get vacation Bible school, and you get a weekly dose. But the other 5 days, or really the other six, you are bombarded with the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yes.
And I noticed in my own life that by the time I was a teenager, I didn't have any of these spiritual arguments. I had no argument. That's why I surrendered with the white flag.
Yep.
Because if there's a God, why didn't he do something for my father? Why? And those questions they're emotional questions. They do have answers.
Yes.
Now I understand they have answers. They didn't then, and there was no one that told me anything about why am I so angry, and why is, if you hear about God, you hear about Christ, you hear about that, but there wasn't a devotion to telling people that, look, he cares and he wants a personal relationship with you.
Yes.
He just didn't want to, say hello on Sunday. He wants to be there day in and day out.
Amen.
And those are the things that I just was not taught. And as I say, by my teen years, I was out. Mm-hmm. I mean, by 11 and 12 and all this other thing, mm-hmm. Things that were going on in my personal life, mm-hmm. coupled with a dead faith, mm-hmm. there was just no defense.
Yeah.
I had no defense.
Yeah.
So
then somebody came along and tells you?
Well, I had heard about Christ, and I had mm-hmm. heard this, you know, just skip the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was a man named Jesus. He went to the cross mm-hmm. for your sins. But I never heard a clear presentation. Mm-hmm. I was never confronted. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the best word.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be confronted,
mm-hmm.
Much like a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
Now, if you, God forbid, were thought that you had cancer and you went to an oncologist and he said, you know, Pastor, your hair looks terrific. You look fabulous. Looks like you've lost a few pounds. Okay, that's great, Doc, but let's talk about these test results.
Yes.
If he just wanted to put on a good face for you, I mean, you're going to say, I got to fire this guy.
Right.
My life is on the line, and your mm-hmm. life is on the line.
Amen.
With regard to where you're going to spend eternity. So I knew the story of Jesus, but I didn't know the man.
Amen.
I didn't know the Savior. And I didn't know there was any. I thought there was far more required of me. Mm-hmm. And like so many, I can't live that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it just kind of stayed in the background for mm-hmm. all of these years. But just to fast forward to 34. Mm-hmm. I was 34.
Mm-hmm.
I had been out of, you know, the whole jail thing had been gone 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I had been a drug addict for all of those years, plus mm-hmm. all of my teens. So mm-hmm. I think in total, 23 years, I didn't even take off while I was locked up because you can get
drugs in jail, can't you?
Yes. And so I just resolved that my mother had died in 1999 of a massive heart attack.
Mm.
And over the next 2 years, I just took a nosedive. In 2001, late 2001, it was December 18th,
mm-hmm.
I could actually look out our kitchen window, which overlooked the city cemetery, and I could see my mother's headstone.
Mm.
So I used to like to go over there and speak with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I know now that the spirit is not there.
Right.
But it comforted me to know her body is right here, and I know mm-hmm. a lot of people do that.
Yep.
And I'm not against it, but I used to go and tell her all of my problems, which took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But on this particular day, December 18th, I took my father's pistol, and I went over there with the intent of taking my own life,
mm-hmm.
just be quite honest. And on the way, I had a friend who had taken his own life
mm-hmm.
on the way to hers, and I stopped and talked with him for a minute, mm-hmm. and as I made my way to her grave, I began to curse God.
Mm.
I began to just empty out everything. I unloaded. Boy, mm-hmm. I really let him have it. I'm sure he was really frightened. I was over there for a couple of hours.
Mm.
If somebody had saw me, they would have mm-hmm. thrown a net over me. But then I began to weep, and I began to hear voices, so to speak, up from the past,
mm-hmm.
saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life,
mm-hmm.
and no man come." And I could hear these. I could hear verses that I had learned as a child. Hebrews 7:24. I don't want to rip it all up. He ever liveth to maketh intercession for you,
mm-hmm.
and he can save you to the uttermost. And
yes.
Boy, that's exactly what I needed.
Yes.
So I prayed what would be considered the sinner's prayer, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I just said, I really played let's make a deal. And that was, I'm on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get off.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot escape this grip.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're real, and if it's not too late,
mm-hmm.
Because I always had this thing in my mind that if there is a finish line or if there is mm-hmm. a point of no return,
mm-hmm.
I'm way back there.
Yeah.
It's way back there for me. If it's not too late, if you get me off these drugs, I will try to live like a human being again and try to do something with my life. And I've dried my tears. I put my gun away. I went back to my day. I was staying with my dad at the time. And I didn't say anything, but I grabbed a notebook and I wrote. I wouldn't have remembered the date had I not written it down. But I said, December 18th, 2001, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. And I even wrote, I don't know what this means. I don't know what happens from here. But, hey, if it doesn't work, I can always come back next week. The weekend came. My friends called, let's get high. And for the first time in, I know, 2 decades, I said I wasn't feeling well. I didn't say, oh, I'm a changed man. I just avoided the conversation, just said I didn't feel well. I got through that weekend. And within a couple of months, I was completely sober. I just began to, I did have a couple of relapses. To where I remember, talk about a spiritual battle, I can remember having a Bible here, a plate of cocaine here. I would, and people say this, boy, it's really scary. But God knows. He can see around the corner. He knows what you'll be doing next week.
And Amen.
He's saying, watch what I do with this kid. Within 2 months, 3 months, for sure, by that summer of 02, I was sober and praying for a wife.
Praise God. Jerry, I think a lot of people, you know, can hear a story like yours, and they say, that's amazing. It's really remarkable. But my particular addiction, I've asked God to take it away, and I still feel overwhelming temptation. And I've given in to temptation. You mentioned you gave in to temptation a couple of times after you'd asked the Lord to save you. But God doesn't do the same thing for everybody when it comes to temptation, desire, etc. He knows what each of us needs. And God knew in your situation what you needed was a radical change, not just in your behavior, but in your desires.
Yes.
And God has really changed your desires, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. And One caveat to the story was I did have a pastor, and Pastor Hayes was just what I needed, because all of my focus was on the world and just superficial things that were so idiotic when I look back now. And finally, I told him, I just don't know about this eternal security. I'm still lustful. That's never changed. And finally, here's what he said to me. He said, Jerry, he said, I love our discussions, but you're going to have to decide. You're either going to trust God's word or you're going to trust Jerry's word. Which is it going to be? But he said, this is going nowhere. And that was the moment. I should have written that date down because that's when I really began to just kind of just let the, you know, put the baggage down. And it was so liberating.
Praise God.
To realize that it really is that simple.
Yeah. If you take him at his word, you will find over and over and over every time his word is true.
Absolutely.
His word is always true. He always keeps his promises. His love for you is perfect. And he will never let you go. Jerry, thank you so much for coming and sharing what God's done in your life.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
You were a convicted felon, and you are now a pardoned felon.
Absolutely.
And not just by the governor of Kentucky, you are pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He
twice pardoned.
Twice pardoned. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. I look
You're
forward
welcome.
To visiting with Diva and letting her share her amazing story. Of God's grace as well.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
You too.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.